Today on Real Radio.
You can turn on a certain so-called Christian radio TV show and get that trash. Oh, if you love God and if you're walking with God, you'll be rich, brother. No adversity in your life. You're the king's kid and you deserve the best. If I really, like, let myself go, I can imitate these guys perfect. Because I watch them on Sunday afternoons just for laughs.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We're in a fascinating mini-series called The Witnessing Church. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, we read the account of Stephen's recounting of Israel's history. He was doing this before certain religious authorities of the day. Now, in and of itself, that doesn't seem threatening, but the disciple was including Messiah Jesus in the big historical picture. Today's presentation focuses on verses 9 through 37 of Stephen's discourse. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
While Jesus is in glory, and as Israel at this time has rejected him, he will take any moment now, hopefully by the time we get to the third point, will come and take his bride, a Gentile, to himself, as the scripture declares. The insinuation by Stephen here is that the patriarchs treated Joseph the same way they had treated Jesus Christ. And they're going to see that by the end of his message. And by the way, I want you to be encouraged. When you share Jesus Christ, I want you to be patient. You're not always going to see a response. In fact, Paul the Apostle told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, I plant, Apollos waters, but it's God who gives the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, remember that, the guy who does the planting is no big deal. And the guy who does the watering is no big deal. But it's God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Cheer up, you guys. Have you been watering? Have you been planting and nothing's happened? Cheer up. Maybe your call is to be a waterer. Maybe your call is to be a planter, a Johnny Appleseed, spiritually speaking. But know this, you might water. You might plant seed. But some other guy is going to come through. God's going to give him the harvest. But ultimately, it comes to Christ. It's the Lord who brings the increase. Cheer up. You may have shared with 1,000 people in your lifetime, and not one of them have come to Christ, and you might think that you don't have the gift of sharing Christ with people. I beg to differ with you. You might be a planter. Someone else might walk by them in a day later, or a year later, or 10 years later, and say something, give them a verse, and somebody, and you've heard it before, haven't you? Someone will say, wow, that's the second time I've heard that verse in a month or a year. That's because someone has planted before you, and now you're watering. And it may be Joe down the street who winds up sharing with them, and the guy comes to Christ. But we're all one in this. You share, you go to places I can't go to. Why? Because some of us are waterers and some of us are planters. It's a team effort. We need to realize this when we're sharing, that some people will think you're nuts for just being a Christian. They don't understand. And besides that, it's a spiritual problem. You are in the light, they are in darkness. You have peace, they don't. You don't worry, that's all they do. You make them nervous. Just love them. They already think you're nuts for a lot of other reasons, probably. So why not be nutty for a great thing? Don't lose patience in your sharing. And they're going to resist you. Jesus said they resisted the prophets that came before him. Jesus also said that they are a stiff-necked generation. And maybe some of the people that we're sharing with are the same way. Jesus said in John 15:18, if the world hates you, know this, that they hated me before they hated you. He says in John 15:25, all of this has happened so that it might be fulfilled by the scripture that says they have hated me without a cause. Isn't that amazing? Listen, be strong. Please be strong. Don't be so weak as to think that when you give somebody Jesus Christ and they draw their curtains or tell you to get off their doorstep or to get away from them, don't shrivel up in a little ball and die in the corner. Don't take it so personal. You are an ambassador for Christ. God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. That is, you are to go out into the world and bring people to Jesus, and not everybody will come. But don't take it so personal. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. Cheer up. Remember this, that the people so often that we share with, James chapter 2, verse 26, says that they are like this. They are bodies. He says that the body without the spirit, it is dead. And they're dead. They can sit in church. Maybe they're invited. They sleep through everything. They'll hear a message on TV by Billy Graham. It doesn't affect them at all. They're just dead. Time will come. The end of the world will come. Or the rapture will come. Or death will come. And they've been dead. The scripture says that those that are not Christians, that do not have God in their hearts, are dead while they yet live. And it's our heart that they come to him and we share the Lord with them. Third point, the hope of a witnessing church is found in verses 17 and 19. The hope that is in or that is of a witnessing church. Look at this, verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew near, which God had shown to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. The hope of a witnessing church. Understand this. If you are receiving adversity, Stephen's point is, you know, these people were called of God and yet they still had adversity. Their babies were being killed. Little Moses, you know, the Bible says about Moses, he was the cutest baby in the world. Now, for the Holy Spirit to write in the Bible that this baby's cute, he must have been a doll. But mom and dad had him for 3 months, put him in a little ark out into the water. Pharaoh's daughter finds him, loves him like her own. We need to realize that there's hope in what we're doing. Listen, cheer up. Because you're receiving adversity does not mean that God is not with you. And I cite the early chapters of Job. We have gotten so goofed up in our theology. We start thinking, oh man, bad things are happening to that family. God must be angry with them. That is sick. Do you realize that's sick? You can turn on a certain so-called Christian radio TV show and get that trash. Oh, if you love God and if you're walking with God, you'll be rich, brother. No adversity in your life. You're the king's kid and you deserve the best. If I really like let myself go, I can imitate these guys perfect because I watch them on Sunday afternoons just for laughs. But they talk about how, you know, there's a chance that all of us don't drive Cadillacs in here or Beamers or whatever. Not all of us drive them. But if you watch that TV show, they'll tell you there's something wrong with you if you don't drive one. And this one guy said, look, I got a Rolls Royce and a Learjet. I can't help it. Just can't help it. It's the Lord on me. Well, the Lord's been on me before, and I've never gotten a Learjet. I mean, I've had the opportunity to lead people to Christ in Russia on the street corner in Moscow and baptize people in St. Petersburg, Russia, and all kinds of stuff. And I know the Lord was on me. But I didn't get to fly home in a Learjet. And as much as I look at my car, it's not a Rolls Royce. Just can't help it. Job, one of the greatest lovers of God who ever lived, God says up in heaven, Satan comes by and says, you know, hi, how's it going? And God says, pretty good. You ever see that guy Job? Check him out. He's awesome. Guy loves me. I love, God brags about us in heaven. Isn't that neat? Hey, Satan, have you seen Job? Yeah, I've seen the guy. You bless him so much. That's why he loves you. You've blessed his life. And God says, oh, I'll tell you what, watch this. You go rip into him, but don't take his life from him. And he's not going to curse me. I'll show you what he's made out of. And Satan comes down to Job's life, and listen, cheer up. Have you been so sick that you've sat in an ash heap and scraped boils and pus from your skin with blades like he did, and yet not curse God or get angry with God? Job did that. How many of you have 10 kids and had them all killed in the same day? Job did. How many of you have been the wealthiest men on earth and lose it all? Job did. And never, not once, did he ever curse God and give up on God. The adversity that you might be experiencing right now may be a God sent from heaven, and I know it hurts. You see, that's what trials are all about. If it didn't hurt, it wouldn't be a trial. It'd be a picnic. And those of you who are Christians, you go through trials. Trials are made for believers. They're custom made for us. I don't know about you, but a while back we were at this seaport village kind of a thing, and there's a glass blower guy. And those guys amaze me. They got that tube in their mouth, and they got these funny goggles on. They got this big torch in front of them, and the guy grabs this piece of glass, and he starts blowing on this thing, and he puts it into the heat and then pulls it away and molds it and adds more glass to it, pulls it away and puts it in and starts to stretch it. And it kind of cracked me up, because he took this blob of zero glass and made it into this seal with the ball on the end of his nose balancing this thing. And I thought, well, isn't that something? And that's exactly what God's doing to you who are in trials. He takes you and he begins to mold this blob, and he heats you up in that fire, and it's hot, and you're screaming, I can't take this anymore. And God says, hang on. He pulls you off the flame for a moment. You have a little bit of endurance, and he grabs your ear and just boom, pulls it out here. Your leg goes the other way. Your head gets stretched. He adds something to your heart, and you feel like some kind of a spastic. That's the trial. That's what it's supposed to do. And then he gets all done and he puts you on the shelf, the mantle. And you shine for him. And isn't it amazing, after every trial you go through, you're a little bit more effective in your Christianity? And we are so funny because we hate the trial. We're in the midst of it. The testing, can't stand it. But the moment it's over, it's like, all right. And we shine for him, and we're somebody different now. Mothers here, blows my mind. They get pregnant, going along, 8 months, 9 months, it's like, oh. And you know, you forget traveling or vacations with a mom that big, because you'll see every gas station in the county, every gas station in the state. You got to stop every couple of minutes. And she's out there and it's hurting, and she's saying things like, I'll never do this again. This is terrible. And you go into the delivery room and she's there and everything's going on. And basically, guys, you've been there. It's like, what can I do now? It's like, get out of the way. And so I've taken advantage of having a camera. And it's amazing. I've caught it on picture. We're my wife and maybe you, your man, you're just, you're just screaming, and they're biting their teeth and they got like a, it's intense. And the moment that baby's delivered, they're crying, they're laughing, there's joy. And it's like, oh, this is wonderful. Great. God is so good. And praise. And it's just like a trial. It's just like a trial. We can't stand it. We can't stand it. And the moment it's over, it's joy. And your life has been added to. We need to realize that we have hope in Him. All the things that you're going through as a witness is not without hope. And I need hope to get through this message right about now. We're running out of time. Fourth point. In verses 20 to 22, the knowledge of a witnessing church. Quickly, this is great. A little bit of background. In verses 20 to 22, it talks about how Moses at that time, being taken in to the house of Pharaoh, verse 22, it says that Moses learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And I did some research on this and found some exciting things. First of all, Ramses II was Pharaoh at this time. He didn't have any sons. He was sonless. Which is not good if you're Pharaoh. Had no sons. His daughter takes in this little boy. She takes him as herself, and Moses is in direct line to be Pharaoh. How's that? Most powerful position in the world? He was adopted right into that line, and he was in line. And for Moses to be as schooled, it says in verse 22, in the wisdom of the Egyptians meant this. He had to master chemistry. The Egyptians invented chemistry, and don't think it was slothful chemistry. It was top-notch stuff. He had to master at being an architect. That was invented in Egypt. He had to master mathematics if he was to be in the family line. He had to master civil engineering, and he had to master astronomy. By the way, the Egyptians at this time determined that the earth was 93 million miles from the sun during Moses' time. Is that awesome or what? I guess if we could build pyramids, we could figure out how far the sun is from the earth. But they found that out then. They were sharp guys. They've invented embalming. We've seen a mummy in Russia. 3,700 years old mummy. And the guy, I mean, he looks tired, but he looks okay. I mean, we can't preserve people like that. We can't do it. We don't have the technology to embalm people like that. The Egyptians could do it. We've got mummies all over the world that have been deposited in museums because they mastered it. And it's a technology we haven't caught up to yet. That's amazing. Don't despise your background in witnessing to people. Don't despise. You may be an ex-corporate executive. You may be an ex-sanitation department man. It doesn't matter. God, in your life, all along the way, has been preparing you since birth. You're not some kind of a weak Christian out there that can't share with anybody. You have been touched by the Holy Spirit of God, and the very circumstances in your life God will use. All of that study, or all of that lack of study, when you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, God will use to the benefit of the kingdom. That's why He's the Redeemer. He takes what you are or what you are not, and He makes it into good. And for me, that is big time encouraging. Fifth point is the timing of a witnessing church. The timing of a witnessing church. Verse 23 to 28. But when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. Broke up a fight and killed the Egyptian in the process. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the rest goes on to explain. They didn't understand the timing of a witnessing church. It wasn't Moses' time. He tried to do it on his own power, and it flopped. You know, what's encouraging to us right now is that the timing for us is now. We are able now, I want you guys to be blessed by this. Number one, we are able to share the gospel in a once forbidden land, Soviet Union. You live in that time frame. I don't know how that grabs you. Maybe you're not into missions, and that's okay. But you know what? You ought to be excited that the people in Russia behind the Iron Curtain are able to hear the Word of God now, because they don't take it for granted. And the other thing is, there are people coming into this church, I want you to know, who have never heard about Jesus Christ in our community. They have been brought up in a godless home. They don't know anything about Jesus. They don't know anything about why is there an Easter, why is there a Christmas. And God is changing people with the truth. We are living in a time that's just like maybe starting all over again. There's people out there that don't know what's available to them. And God is moving. The timing is now. We've had some people come in here lately that are just absolutely precious to me. I love them with all of my heart. And some of them, they're not saved yet, and I love them with all of my heart. They're real bona fide people like you and I used to be, maybe. Sometimes worse. Gangbangers. Setting up hits for people. Drive-by shooting people. People selling guns and drugs, people. Getting shared with the gospel on the street, getting invited to come here, coming here and hearing it, and realizing, maybe not understanding everything, but realizing there's a power, the Word of God. I don't understand. Something's happening to me. And they're going out and they're bringing in their friends, sometimes Satanists. That's awesome to me. And if you don't like it, then go to some glass church where everything's perfect and positive. But we want the world to come in here and accept Christ Jesus and go to heaven.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called The Witnessing Church. It's a look at verses 9 through 37 of Stephen's discourse in the book of Acts, chapter 7. We'll continue with more in this mini-series called The Witnessing Church on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. On the issue of learning how to witness, how to share our faith with the unbeliever, there does exist a rather large religious and cultural group of people that is considered one of the largest mission fields on earth. We're talking about the Muslims. It is the uninformed that believe we all worship the same God under different names. But of course, you don't have to look into it very deeply to quickly learn that that's not the case. And so this coming up January, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, will be having the Southern California Prophecy Conference. Here's Pastor Jack to tell us more.
Hi, this is Jack Hibbs of Real Radio, and I want to bring to your attention the Southern California Bible Prophecy Conference. And you can find out more about that conference at SoCalProphecyConference.com. I know that's long, SoCalProphecyConference.com. We're going to have a great lineup of speakers, and you're going to want to hear from these people. From London, England, Jay Smith will be with us. We'll have Bridget Gabriel and many others. Don't miss this conference. It's $25 for the entire weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon. You can get more information at SoCalProphecyConference.com. God bless you, and I hope to see you here.
Okay, once again, that's SoCalProphecyConference.com. There you'll see a brief video presentation of Pastor Jack, which includes a little bit about each participating speaker. SoCalProphecyConference.com. You'll also find out about registration, local accommodations, just about everything you need. SoCalProphecyConference.com. To get in touch by telephone, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.